Hello, and welcome to the Healing Dreams Project, exploring projective dream work for your health and wholeness, with hosts Billy Ortiz and Dr. Royce Fitz. I'm the producer, Viviana, and today we will not have Billy with us, and we do have a special guest with us. Today we have Josh Patterson. He is the founder and host of the Rethinking Faith podcast. Josh is a former pastor turned professional brewer who has found his home in process relational theology and solace amongst the mystics. Josh is a theologian, philosopher, mystic, and lover of humanity. Welcome, Josh. It's nice to have you.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me. I'm excited to be here.
We're excited to have you.
Yeah, thank you. Sorry, Viviana. Yeah,
no, go.
We are excited to have you. So just to, there's probably a lot of background that we'll get into a little bit with Josh. One of the pieces I would like the listeners to be aware of is that when my book was first coming out, it hadn't even been launched yet. One of the people I really yearned to be interviewed about the book was Josh Patterson because of his Rethinking Faith podcast. And for anyone who is curious about what that means, please look up Rethinking Faith in your list of podcast curiosities, because Josh interviews a whole spectrum of people. And also, this is deep, gentle stuff. It's not deep, mean, or hard, although it may feel hard. Josh's theological perspectives are very broad and inviting. So when he agreed to be with us to work a dream, I got extra excited and appreciative. So welcome, Josh.
Yeah, thank you. I'm excited. We had a fun conversation on Rethinking Faith. I really enjoyed that. And I know listeners did as well. So I'm excited to kind of be in conversation once again.
Mm-hmm. Yes. So the way we proceed is we love dreams. And I often say I've never met a dream I didn't love unless it was my own, because my own dreams are sometimes so outrageous and nightmarish, I don't want to look at them. And that's why we use the projective dream work process, where people borrow the dream and we have a guideline, which we'll share here in a second. And this idea, this concept, this approach to dreams, nighttime dreams, is for us as humans. And Josh said in his bio, he's a lover of humanity. And I believe in the deepest instinctual sense, dreams love us because we are a part of all life forms. And so we're going to listen to Josh share his dream, and then Viviana and I will enjoy projecting, and all the listeners are going to project because you can't help it. you if you hear something, you will begin to interpret and analyze. And this is a way to help us join the dreaming process.
I'm just curious, though, since this is my first time to meet Josh. He's a former pastor turned professional brewer. Can you tell us a little bit more about this path that you've taken? And you're a super young guy too.
Yeah, right on. So I am a young person, but I look significantly younger than I am. I'm 29 years old. I served in vocational ministry for about 6 years, and five of which I was a pastor. And essentially, I mean, it's a long story, but the gist of it is, in the first church I ever worked at, I had a very negative experience. where I experienced things that were not great, to say the least. Mm-hmm. I mean, I can be blunt about it. I experienced spiritual abuse, verbal abuse, borderline physical abuse, emotional abuse at the hands of the founding pastor and my direct report, the pastor that oversaw me on a day-to-day basis. And so I was there for about 8 months too long, which I was only there for 8 months. Mm-hmm. So it's not a great experience. And that kind of messed me up in many ways. But I left that church not thinking at the time like, okay, well, it's the whole church is bad. I just thought I had one bad experience. I ended up at a Methodist congregation, which was a much better experience. There was a lot of really positive things there. However, it also ultimately ended up being a negative experience for me, just not in the same way that the first church was, but there were some weird staff dynamics and tensions that were uncomfortable. So I ended up saying, okay, one more time, you know, three strikes and you're out. And I ended up working for a really beautiful and amazing church that I have no qualms with. I'm still friends with the pastors and people there. I was there for about a year and a half, and it just, the damage was done, so to speak, from the first church. And then also I was going through, although I didn't call it this at the time because this language wasn't as popular, but what people are calling deconstruction today, I was kind of experiencing that, plus this other kind of trauma and abuse lens, and ultimately decided with the help of a spiritual director and therapy that stepping away from vocational ministry was best. So I did. And I was like, what can I do? Well, I really love beer, so let's go do that. And so I started out as a bartender in a small craft brewery and kind of worked my way to being a brewer, which I really loved. And I've met a lot of really amazing people in the craft beer world. Beer has a way of bringing people together from all different walks of life and experiences and faith traditions or no faith tradition. So it was a really cool experience. There's been a lot of healing in the craft beer world for me. So
interesting. And also in your bio, it says that you are you do process relational theology. Can you tell us a little about that in your words?
Yeah, sure. So process theology comes from initially the work of a gentleman named Alfred North Whitehead, who was a mathematician and philosopher. He developed what he called a philosophy of organism, which is it's a very complex system. The process is notoriously difficult to explain, but it was kind of his philosophy somewhat became appropriated within some theological spaces. And I have found it to be really beautiful and inviting because it doesn't have a lot of the kind of baggage that a lot of the other kinds of theologies that I kind of grew up with did. And so this is very oversimplistic, but there's a gentleman named Jay McDaniel who kind of gives like three main tenets of process thought as like an introduction. And one of them is that nobody can cross the same river twice because everything is in process, constant change. That nobody is an island. Everything is relational. We all only know each other within this relational capacity. And that all life is sacred or inherently valuable or something like that. And so those are three of the big commitments. And then there's all sorts of metaphysical things that pop out and in the process world and things like that. So it's open, it's engaging mentally, but also it plays nicely with the mystics, which are people who, as you said, I tend to like and find a home amongst. So yeah, that's a bit about it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you explained that really well.
Well, thank you.
The process approach, which I truly love as well, is inherently difficult to describe. And I love that you use the word organicity or some version of that. And we are all connected. And again, that's, I think, how I understand dream work, is that dreams within the organicity of all of life, because as far as we know, many, many, many organisms have some version of dreams. And so that's just an unfolding process in our evolutionary journeys. So, yeah, thank you.
Yeah. So, Josh, did you bring a dream?
So Josh, so you don't get too caught off guard. I know I will, and I assume Viviana will. When we talk with you, we will be using the word I, so that we will ask questions out of the I, so that we can keep this understanding of projection flowing, so that you don't feel analyzed. And so we do our own projective best to step into this beautiful soul that is known as Josh.
Mm-hmm. Cool. Yeah. So, let's see. Should I try to give a more organic version, or do you want me to kind of, if I read from my notes, but maybe I'll try to give an organic version of my dream.
Yeah. Either one is okay. What you wrote, I just felt that was beautiful. However, sure. Though you want to do this, that's the dreamer's choice, as we say.
All right. Well, I'll go from here. I have it in front of me. So, I sent an email earlier today because I was a bit nervous, if I can be honest. And so I said, "Hey, Royce, I'm looking forward to our conversation this evening. As far as dreams go, I don't have much to offer, but hopefully it's something you all can work with. I've noticed a pattern recently where I've been obsessing over various theological ideas in my sleep. There isn't much to the dream side of things that I can remember except the obsession and sense of panic. I've not been remembering many of my dreams for some time now, just general feelings and intuitions I have when I wake up in the morning. I do remember a few details from my dream last night, however. I was in a room that felt warm and welcoming. I was sitting in a circle with a group of people who I recognized as friends, or at least friendly. We were talking about something, and I found myself crying in front of the group. Not an ugly cry, but more so a silent cry with tears streaming down my face. I was not sad, however, but I felt as if the tears were expressing happiness. It felt good and welcome to cry. The others in the group were not judgmental and asked me why I was crying with warm smiles on their face. I remember telling them, I don't know. A member of the group smiled at me and told me it was okay, I didn't need a reason, and it was okay to cry. Overall, the dream felt positive, warm, and happy. That's about all I have for you. Hopefully this is enough. Peace, Josh. Mm-hmm. So that was my dream from last night.
I love this dream. Such a beautiful dream. If it were my dream, I mean, this would indicate to me that I'm in a really good space in my life right now. So I would ask the dreamer, does this reflect any part of how I'm feeling these days in my life? This joy, this that brings tears to my eyes, this satisfaction, this elation. I mean, when I get tears in my eyes, it's because it's unexpected. It's just this supreme bliss that's actually, in my life, it's a huge gift. So if it appears in my dream, it would be perhaps a reflection of how I'm feeling in real life. Does the dreamer resonate with any of that?
Yeah. excuse me. I think so. And perhaps in a way that's maybe even a bit subconscious, just as you were speaking, I'm thinking I've had some pretty cool conversations with people that are close to me that I trust recently that have been kind of helping me feel more seen, I guess. I've been able to fully express my thoughts and concerns, or, you know, ideas that to me, I'm like, I can't believe Josh thinks this. It's so dumb. and they've been really helpful and kind of receiving those things kindly. And I have felt really encouraged by that. And I've noticed too, even just having some outward, more negative thoughts that I project, and then I'm, you know, I've been quickly come back to or reminded, or, you know, I'll be being negative towards myself, and then I'll get a nice email from somebody that I look up to or that I respect, and they say nice things about me or something like that. So I think recently I've been, yeah, just getting a lot of really kind words from people in a time when I need to hear that. And that's been really helpful.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's so easy for me to just blubber projections all over this dream. I identify deeply with, again, my projections of what's going on in my life. As I was listening to the dreamer, one of my projections was the dream that I have, wherever dreams come from, sometimes they are behind us, sometimes they are in our present, and sometimes they are in our trend or towards the future that we are yearning for, that the dream, you know, leads us, kind of cheers me on in that sense. And so in my own projections, and what I appreciated about the dreamer sharing about the dreamer's own journeys theologically and spiritually and pastorally, I have my versions of some of those experiences. And so as I was preparing for being on the podcast, you know, my anxiety is kind of rumbling around. What am I going to share? And also at a deeper level, I'm having these awarenesses of breaking theological and maybe some personal rules. And so I am having a struggle, a conflict about these issues, because I've been damaged, I've been hurt in my earlier life. And while there perhaps was no intention purposefully to hurt me, I was hurt many, many times in my theological and growing up journey of my life. So as I navigate this, it's like, do I know what I'm doing? You know, I get panicky. So I'm going to stop there for a second, and either Viviana or Josh can do that. But well, I have a lot more projections too.
How'd that feel, yeah. Josh? Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, the kind of breaking of theological rules, that phrase or sentence stood out to me, because I often find myself as one who does that, not in some kind of mean-spirited, like, you say this, I say that, haha kind of thing, but rather just in trying to make sense of reality as I experience it, you know, and things like that. And so a lot of, you know, in the beginning, I shared about these, not so much dreams, but just like almost like late night obsessions where in my sleep, I'm just, you know, racing through my mind with things, and waking up and just having this sense of like panic and whatever. And I think it's interesting because intellectually, I feel like I can find answers, right, that work for me. And I'm like, oh, that makes so much more sense or something like that. But when you grow up and are told the world works a certain kind of way, or are taught certain kind of, you know, theological ideas, or just say your worldview, for example, and then that starts to fall apart, or you start to question it, even though you might have intellectual assent, these things still like exist in your body, or at least I feel like they do. And so, I don't know, nighttime seems to be when the worst of my thoughts come out to play. And so that kind of, yeah, the angst of, there's an excitement and a beauty in breaking some of the rules, but then at the same time, there's always this constant, like, what if in the back of your head, you know? And I think that some of where the stress and anxiety has kind of been coming from is that constant, like, yeah, but what if, you know?
Viviana, I want you to be very assertive because I'm projecting so much. Do not let me over talk you, please. So I'm going to wait and offer some time to you.
No problem. No problem if you over talk. I'll just say a quick little thing. I was struck with, I'm sitting in a circle with a group of people who I recognize as friends or friendly. So a circle for me is unity and connection. And in this case, it's a very positive social environment. They're friends and friendly. It's all, circle is also equality. It's a sense of community. So, and the tears for me symbolize a clearing of some kind. So it's in a way, if it were my dream, it's like subconsciously I'm processing some beautiful feelings and arriving at a very positive and emotionally blissful, embracing, secure serenity. It's such a beautiful dream. So many beautiful. It also, because I'm moved to tears in the dream, it's a sense of vulnerability that is so tender and sweet and special and gorgeous that it's not an easy place to even be in real life because of all the demands, I suppose, if in my life at least. And I love how in this dream, it just seems like the whole dream is couched in this love. That's just so wonderful.
Do I know these people in the dream? Are they waking life people in my dream?
That's hard because that's why I said like friends or friendly. Have you ever had that experience where there's someone in your dream that is supposed to be somebody, but it's not them? Like, it doesn't look like them, but they're like taking on the character of a friend or something like that. Yeah, because the only face that I can remember vividly is somebody that I used to work with loosely. Like when at my last brewing job, I took their job. And then when I left, they came back and took my job again. So we just kind of traded. And I'm not particularly close with this individual, but for whatever reason, that's like the only face I remember. So yes,
for me,
yes and no. Yeah.
So this is for me, this is the essence, one of the essences of my dream. In my dream world, I borrow people from the waking world sometimes. And this particular person is not somebody that I'm really buddy-buddy with, which is, in the dream world, a perfect movie screen for me to project onto this person. So this allows me to imagine who this person is And in my dream, I feel particularly drawn to them. And because in the waking world, they served a valuable purpose. They kind of prepared the way for me to become a brewer. And then they stepped back. And then when I left, they came back in. And to me, this is where I get some goosebumps, is that they're reminding me of a kind of shepherd, a kind of gatekeeper in the dream world, who is sort of like ahead of me, or is at the gate as I am gaining more authenticity and integrity. And so they kind of usher me, they certainly did in my projection, in my waking world. And so they opened the door for me in this journey. And so they are present in my unconscious, in my dream, to, I think, to kind of anchor me and to remind me that I'm not alone in this process. I am being ushered. I'm being, in my theological sense, I'm being shepherded into this new space in which I feel absolutely safe. And it's beyond words for me. I feel so safe. I'll stop there for a moment.
Yeah, that's really beautiful. I feel it kind of maps nicely, especially again in light of some of the anxiety type experiences, and then to have this really peaceful and warm and welcoming experience where emotions could be expressed and you could be vulnerable. And yet, I mean, it's making me think of people in my, you know, non-dream world, my waking experience, who have kind of been people who have kind of gone before me, and have been kind of, I don't know, with me through things, or people that have kind of made me feel welcome when I've like had a real sense of loss of community, right? I think one of the particularly nefarious things of people who end up, you know, deconstructing from some kind of faith, whether it's Christian or not, is that you lose the communal aspect on top of your entire worldview blowing up. And so the group of people that are supposed to help you with these kind of things are now gone. You lose that as well. And so there's just some really beautiful people in my life who have kind of helped me, you know, feel welcome again and give me that sense of community, not just in, you know, like normal everyday stuff, but also within the kind of theology world or the philosophy world, these kind of things. And so, yeah, I think that maps nicely onto a waking experience. Yeah.
So in the dream world, one of my wonders and this is something that I did not invent, I learned this from my dream community people, to wonder about the people in my dream that I don't physically, or I don't waking life, I don't know in the waking world. So in the dream, they're sometimes they're faceless. However, in the dream, I feel like I'm known by them and they know me. And so I have this beautiful sense of those are aspects of who I am. And in the Gestalt sense, everything in the dream is a part of me. And as I am setting with all of these parts of me, I'm freaking feeling affirmed that all the aspects of who I am are supporting me. And many of them I don't really know. And that's one reason I think this dream for me is like, this is my future. This is this is how I am experiencing. The dream is calling me to this and is affirming that I'm on the right path. Also, and this is where we can get mystical and a little maybe wonderingly woo-woo, is that sometimes people in our dreams that we don't know may be representative of ancestral energies, may perhaps our own ancestors or those who have gone before that are in the beautiful mystical realm are cheering us on to be there for us as we are for them. One of my understandings of this kind of dream work is as the ones who've gone before are coming to support us, they are also going to grow when I grow. So it's a circle. So these people in this circle are saying, yes, please, Royce, keep going. And I love you. We love you. And when you heal, we heal.
Yeah, I think that's interesting. The ancestral lens, what it, you know, my mind goes immediately is to my kind of theological conceptions of the divine. And within a process relational framework, everything is in process, including the divine. And this gives the divine unique thing, like abilities that isn't present in, you know, classical theism, such that God is, it's not that God is the unmoved mover, but the most moved mover, and that the divine experiences what, you know, it's like to be Josh Patterson in a very real and true sense. And so I, just like in any relationship with people, my you know, relationship with you two impacts me in the same way that me talking with you two is going to impact you. It's the same with the divine. And so with this ancestral language, I went to God and I'm thinking about, oh, as I'm healing, so too is the divine. It's this beautiful kind of co-creative is the language I'm looking at, but that's not quite right because that's but it's this like kind of symbiotic relationship with the divine who's willing to experience suffering not as a bystander but as one genuinely present. And so the kind of the ancestor language brings that to mind. And that's really interesting to me. I don't know if that made sense, but that that's where it goes
made sense
me.
To
yeah.
me.
Yeah, cool.
That's beautiful. Yeah. The divine within, the divine without. I am within the divine, and I'm being healed, and the divine is being healed.
Embracing vulnerability with the divine and with all around me. I wonder if perhaps the dream is showing me that I'm a call to bring a little more of this into my life. So maybe I'm not getting enough of it. And I'm wondering if this is just showing me, where can I maybe express my emotions more openly? Or where can I bring my vulnerability? To whom can I express a little bit more? So it may be a call to dive even deeper and be more open with who I am.
Yeah, that's super interesting because I tend to pride myself on being very open. But even that has limits, right? And there's definitely things that I've been wrestling with in my personal life that I have mostly just been keeping in with myself and haven't been able to be vulnerable in ways. And so I like that. I like that language of like a call or an invitation to kind of let some of those things out into the world in a community or with someone of trust or something like that. It's a welcomed invitation and challenge, and challenge in a good sense, not in a bad way.
So yeah. this touches me as I think about how vulnerable I am, kind of in the, for me, in my secret closets, in my secret aspects of myself that not everybody knows about. For me, the dream is not saying I need to kind of strip and, spew this out, whatever these are. I don't feel like the dream is telling me to do that. I think the dream is holding me with a lot of unconditional love that says, when I feel ready and when the opportunity is safe enough, I'm moving in the direction of taking a risk. And so I don't feel pushed. I feel held. Again, as Viviana talks about, this circle of unity that is holding me, supporting me in this. This dream feels really wise. I'm crying in a healthy way. I'm being supported by the ancestral energies of whatever God is and whomever God is and whomever my ancestors are and all the ones who've gone before and my future energies too. So I feel like I am nourishing myself and I'm being nourished.
Yeah. I think that language is good, the not being pushed. Because that's how I experience if we call them ancestral energies or divine lure or whatever, is as invitational and non-coercive and embracing, right, and loving. And it's interesting because I find that it actually is out of that place of deep loving and acceptance that kind of generates the willingness or the want to kind of take on a challenge. Or I think it helps produce transformation. Like, this is one thing I think at least the kind of Christianity I grew up in gets wrong, is they tell people how much they suck and expect that to make them change. Mm-hmm. And even just from a psychological standpoint, things don't work that way. Mm-hmm. So yeah, this more beautiful holding language, the kind of unconditional love, the invitation, the allure forward, rather than this coercive or manipulative kind of.
If I know I'm loved by all the parts of who I am, my known and unknown, and how and this dream helps me sense that, I'm ready to take some bold steps. I'm ready to choose, if I need to move into the area of possible suffering for the sake of growth and healing for others as well as myself. If I feel pushed, I'm less likely to take these steps. Again, this dream reminds me of my core inner self and the process. Understanding that the core of the whole universe is about yearning and loving and luring towards health, healing, and wholeness. So I'm game for this because of this kind of reflection inside me.
I love how in the dream, the people I'm with are not judgmental. That there's a side of me that's not judgmental, and there's this side that's very accepting And even when I don't have things figured out, that I don't, the emotions are not clear, I'm not really understanding them. I just love how it's all embraced, how and accepting, however it is.
I was struck by how I heard the dreamer talk about, I identify with this, I can pretty well think through different parts of theology and of my life. I don't always feel through those. And this is so true in my own growth and development, is that my feelings haven't caught up yet with what I'm thinking. And so I have all these, in my view, I have all these primitive reactions going on, fear and anxiety and maybe not knowing. And yet where I'm, and in this dream, I have this kind of great coming together of my feelings and my thoughts are more in harmony, more circular now.
Yeah, I know I definitely tend to, in times of distress or confusion or whatever, I go back and I live in my head. I'm a problem solver in that way. And I have kind of more recently in life been living much more in that kind of headspace. And recently had an experience where I read a novel rather than like, you know, some dense philosophy book. and it gave me permission once again to kind of feel my way through things, because the book was written by Rob Bell, if you know who Rob Bell is, and his writing is very invitational in that regard. And that kind of reopening to feeling was really powerful, and kind of reminded me of, I don't know, like it's weird. You know how sometimes like a good spiritual teacher or mystic or someone who's just intuitive can pull something out of you that like you've always known, but like you forgot it or something like that. That's kind of this experience that I've been having. And the non-judgmental piece has been really big, because I am probably the most judgmental of myself than anybody else. and it's hard for me not to do that. And so the kind of you know, love and acceptance, or being willing to give into feeling, or like having that experience of the non-judgmental is something that like I tend to be able to offer to other people, but not so much for myself. And so maybe within this dream, there's again, an invitation to kind of hold that non-judgmental space for myself and not just for other people.
For me, it goes along with rethinking feeling.
Yeah, nice.
Reflection and rethinking.
Yeah, absolutely. That's beautiful. That's well done. Nice.
It is. I've got my goosebumps on that one. Re-feeling. Rethinking. Yes. Wow. My unconscious is quite brilliant. To name my podcast, Rethinking. Yeah. My ego self still judges me, my waking self. And, you know, some of that is because this is the only freaking way I know how to survive in some pretty awful circumstances. And so it's trying to serve me, trying to protect me. And accidentally along the way, it's built walls around me. I've built walls around me. And that's why this dream is so gracious. I am. So the dream, if I dream this, this is who I am. This is who I am. My waking self may not have caught up yet. And yet the dream self is saying, this is where I'm going. This is where I'm going.
Yeah. Yeah. Again, I like the the invitational language. That's sitting with me nicely.
In addition to being a spiritual counselor, one of the things I love also, because, and I integrate it, is that I'm trained in family systems as well, generational understandings of who we are as individuals, past generations, all of the influences that we have. And one of the things I learned about us as life forms is that our instinctual anxiety is often going to get activated. It's going to get charged, and it's going to rise to the surface if it senses some kind of threat. So in as I heard the dreamer read the preamble to the dream, you know, the anxieties, the obsessions that I'm doing late at night, you know, in the dream world, there's these images of the in some cultures of the hag that sets on our chest and screams or terrifies us and sucks the breath out of us. And, you know, it's like, what is all of that? And this is, and the preamble reminds me of this, these energies. And in systems understanding, when I am changing, and this is the ancestral thing, when I am changing, when I'm stretching, when I'm growing, when I may be breaking rules that have oppressed me and the world, that protective anxiety is going to rise up. And, you know, it's trying to protect me, and the anxiety from the culture, from the larger system, is trying to suppress, trying to oppress, trying to take me back, because the old homeostasis feels safer. It's a lot more poisonous, but it feels safer because I know it, and the culture knows it. The system knows, oh yeah, let's, you know, pull the rug out from under my growth, because I don't know for sure where I'm going. And that's my process. The future is not yet. I am creating every element, every molecule, or I'm helping to do that. I'm experiencing these droplets of newness. And it causes a hell of a lot of anxiety in the larger system. And that's what I felt like this preamble to the dream. And then, you know, it's like, bam, I held that. And I also saw my core. And my core says, I can do this. I've got my own back.
Yeah, I resonate with that deeply on a variety of levels, and not just theologically or spiritually. Just there's been, you know, as I was talking about earlier, there's these two people that I've been interacting with recently, who have really been encouraging me to you know, be myself and not try to be other people or something like that. And I've been doing my best to live into that, but it does come with a lot of anxiety, because I know versions of Josh that people kind of already accept, right? And so if I start to break that and show people a little bit more, there's that anxiety of, oh, well, what if that part of me isn't accepted, or that part of me isn't welcome? And so that language of protective anxiety really kind of resonated with me, just thinking about even just some of the, you know, sillier stuff. For And if you don't mind, I'll give an example. So I stop being so vague. Mm-hmm. Recently, I was at this event called Theology Beer Camp, which is a really fun event hosted by my buddy Trip Fuller. And I wanted to go. Well, yeah. There's always next year. It'll be around again.
There is, yeah. So we'll have that information in the notes, right, Viviana?
Oh, sweet.
That allusion to.
Yeah.
Sorry. Cool. Sorry. I needed to sneak this in.
Yeah. But while I was there, there was an individual there named Derek Webb. Derek's a musician. He played, music amongst, some other musicians. And Derek made some headlines recently. Some people were angry at him because he went to the Dove Awards, which is basically like the music awards for Christian music.
Gospel,
Yeah, in a dress. And Derek is a cisgender, like straight white dude. But the reason he wore a dress is because he went with Flamey Grant, who is another individual who made headlines recently, as the first ever Christian drag queen to top the Christian music charts on iTunes. And so he went in support of his friend and wore a dress for that reason. And that really felt inspiring to me. My two brothers, one of them identifies as gay, the other one is pansexual. And I noticed while I was there that Derek had his fingernails painted black. Another one of my friends that was there had his fingernails painted black. And so when I got back from beer camp, I asked my wife if she would paint my fingernails black. it just came off the other day. I have to redo it. But that felt really scary for me. But that's something that I've always kind of wanted to do because I've seen other people do it and thought it looked cool. And I thought, maybe I could do that. But I was afraid of what, people might say something or think something or whatever. And so in a way I try to kind of justify it to myself and be like, oh, well, this is like a nice way that I can show support and solidarity for my brothers and all of my other friends within the LGBTQ, community, which I think is true. But at the same time, I just needed to do it for myself. And that felt very scary for me. And so that was something, as silly as like having nail polish on, right? Like whatever, but that was big. That was huge. And so I think that's an example of something I've been going through recently that I think might give you a little bit more insight into this, my dream that I've shared with you guys. That was a lot. Sorry.
No.
It's beautiful.
Yeah.
I'm watching Viviana's energy. So she has a lot to share.
No, the thing is, I'm a classical musician, and my whole life, I felt like Josh is explaining. I had a whole other side to me that I had to keep very secret because it wasn't cool within the classical world. So, yeah. But now I feel that they're at least in time, advancing to the year 2023. I am more able and able to show my true authentic self, as my dear friend Royce would say. And as I do, this dream, it's almost like I would use it as the pinnacle of my goal in a way, or I'm in a very supportive community, whether that's just a community of one, a community of me and myself and I. And I am supported and I am loved. And the dream is just here to just remind me that. Remind me of that.
Yeah. I like that. It has like a teleological dimension to it. An end goal, an invitation. And as you're talking, this phrase that my buddy Tripp says all the time, over and over and over again, to the point of like, okay, Tripp, we get it. But it's true. It's just accepting the fact that you're accepted.
Good.
And as an invitation. So yeah, as you're speaking, that kind of came to mind for me. And
Tripp would tell me that it's above my pay grade to disagree with the divine in the fact that I'm already accepted. So I should probably just get on with accepting it.
Beautiful.
Well, what wise counsel this is inside me that, again, this dream has the past, present, and future all wrapped. And before I knew I was accepted, I was accepted. And so the dream is holding that as a memory. And the dream is also holding this as a present experience, because right now my ego, my waking self, and my sleeping self seems to be, you know, I remember this dream, seems to be integrated right there. And so it is a past, it is my present, and this is the direction I'm going even more. And as I move and as I'm lured into health, healing, and wholeness, this is my hint of how I will carry myself and be carried. My ancestors have my back. My future ancestors have my back. I have my back. And how I conceive of the God-ish energy, the God-ish energy has my back. And I have the God energy's back as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Word up, or amen, or let it be so, or whatever, whatever is the proper.
Yeah. Hey, out of my tradition, it'd be amen, brother.
Preach it, brother.
Well, that sounds like a wonderful place to come to an arbitrary close for right now. Is there anything else, Josh, that you want to reflect on, or Royce, if there's anything else to, although I think that buttoned it up beautifully.
Yeah, I'm good. I'd like to hear Josh's final reflections.
Yeah, no, I just thank you both for this. This was a really helpful and beautiful experience. I didn't really know what to expect coming in. I haven't done much dream stuff before, but it was really helpful, and it's I don't know, it's beautiful. I love the idea of, you know, like empathy and compassion, and when sharing a dream with somebody, and like, I like how you guys do the, like, I guess you call it projective dream work, where you kind of put that on mm-hmm. and like try to, that's like a very empathetic kind of way of mm-hmm. doing it.
Non-analytical.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm not analyzed. I am in this circle in the dream. That's what I'd love. Right. I'm in this dream, and everyone is supporting me this way.
Yeah. And it felt very much like that. And I felt very seen and loved. And so I appreciate it. And it helped me dig into it as too. You know, for me, it was like, well, it's kind of a cool dream. Hopefully that works. But now I have such a deeper appreciation for it. And I took notes and things that I want to definitely continue coming back to. So thank you both. It's been wonderful.
It's been wonderful to hear such a beautiful dream. Josh, if someone wants to get a hold of you, where can one do that?
Yeah, sure. So, I mean, the podcast is wherever podcasts are found. Me personally, I'm on social media, so people can find me on Facebook. It's just Josh Patterson. And I'm on Instagram as well. And also Rethinking Faith, my podcast is on Instagram. But then if you want more, a little bit more direct, you can email rethinkingfaithpod@gmail.com. And that goes directly to me. And I would love to chat and to get to know people. So.
Wonderful. It's been a pleasure to have you, Josh. Thank you for your time and your dream.
Yeah, most definitely. Thank you. Absolutely.
Royce, where can one get in touch with you?
At RoyceFitz.com. I am a spiritual counselor and dream worker, and If the listeners are curious about more of what I do, please go to the royceFitz.com website and reach out to me. I would be most honored. And I'm also riding high on the recent launch of my book, The Geography of the Soul. And one of the things that stands out to me tonight is, as we've heard Josh share his dream and how this is a part of Josh's geography, it's all of who the dreamer is. And our yearning and movement towards health, healing, and wholeness is reflected in our yearning and our healing within our spiritual as well as our physical geography. And Viviana, if I wanted to reach out to you, what do I do?
My website is viviana.org. That's viviana.org. I'm a musician and a flutist. And viviana.org/magic is where you find me as a sound healer, a tarot card reader, astrologer, and dream worker. So if you, the dreamer, has a dream and you want us to dive into it, you want to come on the show with us, we do have a dreamer hotline. And that number is 720-573-9195. We are the Healing Dreams Project podcast, available on all your podcast channels. We would appreciate a like, a share, tell your friends about your dreams, share your dreams with us, share your dreams. That's the most important part. We are here expressing the language of stories, symbols, metaphors, and archetypes. Until next time, sweet dreams.